Thanks very much, Terry Anderson, for another spirited programme, and welcome the rest of you to the Intrepid Birdman Show. If you caught it last week, well, you jolly well ought to know better by now. I was going to read to you tonight for my forthcoming book, A Thousand Things to Do with a Piece of String. Unfortunately, I find myself a little tied up just at the moment, so instead I'll bring you the regular items. Hilly's Hot Gossip, the Sunday Moan, Great Moments in British History, and of course the Super Quiz. First of all, however, another great do-it-yourself spot. Tonight it's do-it-yourself make an atomic bomb. And you can make one from things you'll find around the home, in the shed, and up and down the high street. A jolly useful little feature. Yes, do-it-yourself, amaze your friends, and stagger your neighbours, coming up just shortly.
The city is quiet, too cold to walk along. Strangers in overcoats, hurry on home. Tonight I've been walking in the rain. Someone's been talking and I've got the blame. Chained, framed, you know what I mean. Push me in the corner and I'll scream. Just give me one more chance. One more
I don't mind.
good evening, and welcome to Do It Yourself, Make an Atomic Bomb. In order to make a decent A-bomb, it's important to take the odd precaution in order to prevent yourself making a nuisance with the neighbours. You'll need a nice warm workshop with some good thick walls, say about 3 feet of concrete and lined with 2 inches of lead. Nothing upsets the neighbourhood more than being irradiated unexpectedly. Well, the first thing you're going to need in your experiments is some uranium, and that's a bit tricky to get hold of, not to mention more than a little dangerous. So best get a parent to help. The most useful sort is uranium-235, which has nice big atoms, nice and easy to split. But it's a teensy bit rare. Actually, it's the rarest element on Earth, and it's unlikely they'll have any down the shops. And even if they did, you'd need a whopping great wheelbarrow, because it's the heaviest element known to man, and millions of pounds to buy it with. Well, I don't know about you, but Barclay card get a teensy bit twitchy when I get over £1,500 on my card. And it's such a difficult thing to write on the sales slip, isn't it? Half a ton of uranium ore. Well, never mind. What might be easier for you is uranium-238. It's still extremely rare, but occasionally you can find lumps of it lying around. Well, if you do find some, pop it into a nuclear reactor until it picks up a few extra particles. Failing all of this, take the shortcut. Grab some plutonium. There's always tons of this stuff falling off trains, lying around in puddles, or just getting lost on the way to somewhere. Nobody ever seems to want it when it does get found lying around, so what's the point in popping it down the police station and hanging around the lost property office for 6 months? You might as well take it straight home and save yourself the long wait. In part two, we'll show you what to do with it and how to have fun with fissionable masses.
Assembly of United Churchwomen, President Eisenhower speaks on atomic weapons and what America must do to survive.
Today we are face to face with the most extraordinary of physical development of all time, the application of nuclear fission and nuclear fusion to the world's armaments. These discoveries in the field of science present in themselves no threat to man. Like other scientific developments, they are susceptible to good or evil use, depending upon the intent of the individual or group possessing them. Man's greatest scientific achievement, therefore, cannot yet be made exclusively to serve the advancement of man's welfare and happiness. Instead, we are forced to concentrate on building such stores of armaments as can deter any attack against those who want to be free.
Oh, yes, I'm the pretender. One can tell. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Adrift in a war of my own. I play the game, but to my real shame, you've left me to dream all alone. Like a crown, pretend that you're still around. Yeah. like a clown. Pretend that you're pretend that you're still
Hello, good evening, and welcome to part two of Do-It-Yourself Make a Nuclear Bomb. In part one, we looked at general requirements for experiments in nuclear fission. Now we're going to look at some essential safety precautions. Do label your radioactive materials clearly with big stickers. And remember that radioactive isotopes tend to be a bit dodgy to handle, quite apart from being very poisonous. They mustn't be left lying around in big piles. They have a nasty tendency to get hot if you stack them all in the same corner. Whatever you do, don't let Mum tidy them all up while she's hoovering, or you could come home to critical mass and big trouble from the neighbours. Happily, plutonium doesn't go bang all on its own, but uranium might if there's enough of it left lying about. Always wear suitable overalls when working with fissionable materials, and don't forget a nice thick pair of rubber gloves. As an added precaution, why not slip a sheet of lead down the front of your underpants? It avoids you messing up your jeans. Remember to wash your hands thoroughly afterwards, and don't bring food into the workshop. If you must eat in there, avoid eating anything that glows in the dark. And remember that plutonium takes thousands and thousands of years to lose its radioactivity. If you should drop some and can't find it, drag out the vacuum cleaner and check the dust bag, just in case. What you don't want is to have the cat lick it up and then kill off all the grass every time it goes shoo-shoos. It's so embarrassing trying to explain that one away to the neighbours. Well, in part three, we'll assemble a bomb and attempt to test firing, so do stick around and have your plutonium ready.
You have a grandstand seat here to one of the most momentous events in the history of science. In less than a minute, you will see the most powerful explosion ever witnessed by human eyes. For the sake of all of us, and for the sake of our country, I know that you join me in wishing this expedition well.
It is now 30 seconds to zero time. Put on goggles or turn away. Do not remove goggles or face first until 10 seconds after the first light.
Here they come again. Hopscotching up to my door. One by one again. Knockety knock knocking. On my floor, swinging on my gate, they gain entry by the yard. Pulling at my hair, they scream. Pinch your thoughts upon my card. And I've no tonight, I've got studies to examine. Tomorrow I'll be watching. Sneakers from the windmill and bullets, but I'll stand and hold my post.
I've got studies to examine. Tomorrow I'll be watching all the Queen's Men, a talent contest on Monday with my Uncle Sam, who now takes up all of my time.
On Do It Yourself, Build an Atomic Bomb, we pass over to our resident expert, Boris Doppelganger, for some in-depth instruction.
Good afternoon, boys and girls, and welcome to Uncle Boris's A-Bomb class. Well now, what are we going to need to make our own neighborhood nuclear deterrent? Well, first of all, we need a nice big pair of stainless steel salad bowls. You know, the sort they sell at IKEA. Some sticky tape, a big old kitchen pedal bin, some cardboard, some scissors, and if possible, a responsible adult to help. Oh yes, and of course, we might need some fissionable material. Let's say some uranium-235. Now, where was I? Oh yes. You want to separate about 10 pounds of uranium-235 into two chunks. Keep them apart. The idea is to push each half of your uranium into the inside of the big stainless steel salad bowls. Take one hunk of uranium and beat it in with a hammer. Bang, bang! Because you see, uranium is malleable, a bit like gold, don't you know? So you shouldn't have any trouble banging it into the bowl to get a good fit. Now this may take a while, but luckily, here's one I have already prepared. Take another 5-pound chunk of uranium and fit it into the second stainless steel salad bowl. These two bowls of uranium-235 are what we call in the business subcritical masses, which, when brought together forcefully, will provide the critical mass that makes your A-bomb go bang! Now, keep them a respectable distance apart whilst working, because you don't want to go critical accidentally, do you? Well, not yet, anyway. Now, you take your pedal bin and place your two hemispherical bowls inside, open ends facing each other, no less than 7 inches apart. Use some masking tape to keep them in position. The reason for the steel bowls and of the metal pedal bin is that these will help to reflect the neutrons back into the uranium for a more efficient explosion. As we used to say in the old country, a loose neutron is a useless neutron. Where was I again? Oh yes. Now, all you got to do is to make the two halves bang into each other with sufficient force. Dropping them from a great height should do the trick. So a couple of nice big stabilizer fins, cut from cardboard and stuck on with sticky tape, will help to keep a nice new bomb on course. So, let's go off to the test site for a nice big boomf!
Gosh, thanks, Boris.
That's okay.
Well, on another program, we'll be showing you how to build your own nuclear bomb shelter, how to launch a preemptive strike, a suitable launch vehicle, and all other matters you're going to need to know in order to start your own nuclear war. But first, let's hand the program back to the professionals.
The decks of the 73 test ships anchored in Bikini Lagoon are scenes of feverish activity as scientists plot experimental programs designed to furnish data on blast effects of the mighty atom bomb. Animals of many kinds are shipped aboard the target vessels to serve as proxies for human crews in man's endeavor to discover measures to counteract the deadly results of nuclear fission. A sheep loses his fleecy coat in the interests of science. Special ointments are applied to determine their protective qualities, other parts of the exposed areas being left bare to the atom blast. American officials discuss plans with the Bikini natives for the evacuation of the atoll. The islanders are a nomadic group and are well pleased that the Yanks are going to add a little variety to their life.
And Admiral Blandy says,
"It is therefore essential that our designers, tacticians, strategists, and medical officers learn as much as possible now regarding the effects of this revolutionary weapon upon targets not heretofore exposed to it. Without the information which can be gained from these experiments, your military leaders cannot discharge the responsibilities which you have assigned them. To find this information is the objective of Operation Crossroads."
Don't know the way we leave. The evacuated ruler of Bikini, King Judah, gets a front row seat at the bomb blast as he arrives aboard the Mount McKinley and is greeted by Admiral Blandy, Joint Task Force 1 commander.
The ball of fire is 3 miles across as it shatters both land and sea. The shockwave races 35 miles and reaches the control ship with force enough to jar the solidly mounted camera. In seconds, the fireball erupts into a geyser that towers 25 miles into the stratosphere, spreading into a 100-mile-wide mushroom cloud.
While he's wounded, desolate. invisible sun, dancing with the missing, dancing with the dead, dance with the invisible ones, the anguish is unsaid, dancing with their fathers, dancing with
President Truman's momentous decision to make the hydrogen bomb rocks the world. In the United States, headlines from coast to coast carry the president's announcement. The official go-ahead on a weapon far more dreadful and devastating than the present uranium bomb. In Washington, to implement the president's decision to go ahead with the bomb, the Joint Committee on Atomic Energy began meetings. The implications of the new weapon are tremendous, since Russia, too, has the atomic bomb, which is the fuse for the H-bomb. Further realistic comment is added by General Leslie R. Groves, who was the wartime chief of America's huge atomic energy program.
Let's face the facts. We tried again and again to reach an understanding, but Russia refused. Russia still refuses. Unless and until we can secure world peace by sound, enforceable agreement, we must maintain our lead in the atomic field. We must not ignore the hydrogen bomb. We owe this to our children.
Thank you. so mind-bogglingly complicated that almost nobody will write in for it. What is it? It is the Typing Birdman's Super Quiz.
As you've seen on this week's Do-It-Yourself Spot, it's not terribly difficult to make an atomic bomb. You may recall that I did say to you you could make one from either uranium or plutonium. The method of construction for a plutonium-based atomic bomb is completely different. How different? Well, you tell me. Send me in a working diagram and a suitable narrative to cover it, and I'll send you back a super, super prize. That's it, the super quiz this week. A plutonium-based atomic device. Answers to the Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tarbridge Road, London, SE1 4SL. After a short ramble in the jungle, we'll be coming back with Hillard's Hot Gossip, Sunday Man, and of course, great moments in British history. But for now, here's Jethro Tull.
Walking through forests of hungry hearts, man, scoff at the monkeys who live in their dark tents. Down by the waterhole, drunk every Friday, eating their nuts, saving their raisins for Sunday. Lions and tigers who wait in the shadows, they're fast but they're lazy and sleep in green meadows. Well, that's hunger in the jungle. Well, that's all right, it's by me. Yes, well, I'm a tiger when I walk, love, but I'm a snake if we disagree. Just say a word and the boys will be right there, at your back to send the chill through the night. Hey, is it so frightening to have me at your shoulder? Thunder and lightning couldn't be bolder. I write on your tombstone, I thank you for dinner. This game that we had, Ray is the winner. Well, let's bundle in the jungle. Snakes in the grass. He's a lover of life, but a player of pawns. Yes, the king on the sunset lies waiting for dawn to light up this jungle as players resume. The monkeys see willing to strike up the tune. But let's bundle in the jungle.
With the Sunday Man, and I really am quite extraordinarily miffed, so you can be sure that my spleen will be vented just in a moment's time. tired, calm myself. I'll tell you the story. It's like this. I went into my local hi-fi shop only the other day to inquire after the purchase of a fairly simple piece of wire with a plug on each end, the object being to plug a turntable into an amplifier. They call that a phono-to-phono connector. And I was told by the hi-fi shop that such things are not sold there because they are accessories. The place is absolutely riddled with hi-fi separates that all need plugging into each other, and he tells me that that connector is an accessory. Well, I'm telling you that it's flaming well essential. How can you possibly expect your 400 quid CD player to just sit there silently whirring around without comment? For heaven's sake, pull yourselves together. They couldn't even sell me a simple stylus. I mean, how long do they expect the old ones to last for? Accessories. I mean, pull yourself together. Oh, this is the shopping mall mentality again, isn't it? I mourn the passing of those little shops.
For great moments in British history, and this week the last moments of Mary Antoinette, Queen of France. There's another French basket case. You might ask yourself what that's got to do with British history. Well, mind your own business. And now, if anyone can follow that, then of course Hilly can. And here she is with another selection of hot gossip culled from London and the home counties.
Say gossip is good for you. A book out this week by a famous gossip columnist claims that gossip is essential for your health. So get your weekly dose down now. George Michael has told friends, yes he has got some, that he plans to retire from the pop world in 3 years' time. That's funny, I thought he'd done it years ago. But apparently he wants to bow out gracefully this time instead of with his usual big bang. He has condemned Top of the Pops as a badly presented and hyped-up jamboree. Well, we all know this anyway. So he certainly won't be asked to ever appear on the show again, even if he wanted to. And like he says, who does want to see five close-up shots of whatever he's got up his nose? His new album, Faith, makes its debut this week. And for anyone interested, there's a free fireworks show on the Thames, where the title will be lit up across the sky. I can't wait. Ray Parker Jr. hasn't slept with a woman, or anyone else for that matter, for over 2 years, despite singing all about the pleasures of lovemaking. Ray describes how he has to sleep with the lights on and the windows open since his last girlfriend left him, otherwise he would have a fit. Not exactly a very conducive atmosphere for it, really, is it now? I cannot find anything nice to say about this poor lonely man who looks at himself in the mirror every morning and thinks how wonderful he is, and he sits on the loo to write all his lyrics. Honestly, he must spend all his time in the bathroom. Shock rock group Kiss, who are in the charts with their hit single Crazy Crazy Nights, have been banned by their record company from calling their new album Condemnation, as they were told it wasn't in good taste. Although most people play their records these days, not eat them. How stupid, it's a really good name for an album, much better than the boring old Crazy Nights. Paul McCartney, who likes to live in the peace and quiet of his rural Sussex mansion, has been having a bit of trouble with his dogs attacking local farmers' sheep. Several hundreds of pounds worth of damage has been done by barking dogs in the area, so it is a delicate subject for our sheepish ex-beatle, who claims that, as an animal lover, he is very embarrassed about the whole affair. Coming back to George Michael for Quote of the Week, he tells us, I spend all of my time working, and when I'm not busy being a pop star, I'm usually knackered from being a pop star. Fine. Briefly, Madonna has revealed how she used to be a boy and is reincarnated four times over, and that after her tour, she'll be settling down to start a family of little Madonnarettes. David Bowie has been seen coming out of his dentist after having his teeth filed down, and watch out for the new series of Spitting Image, next Sunday starring a puppet version of Wacko Jacko with a cuckoo emerging out of his head when he speaks, and the parts cut off by his plastic surgeons performing a routine of their own. That's all, folks, from me, Hilly.
I'm not a power-crazed dictator hell-bent on war.
Absolutely not, Prime Minister.
The time of year, now the spring is in the air, when those two wet gits with their girly curly hair make another song for moronic holidays that nauseate, hate, hate in a million different ways, from the shores of Spain to the coast of southern France, no matter where you hide, you just can't escape this dance.
Disembowel yourself with fear.
New Zealand, Mark.
Super. We saw ever so many interesting factories, didn't we, Philip?
Yes.
And we saw lots of dancing, didn't we, Philip?
Oh, yes, that made a change.
And goodbye. Lots of bottoms.
Gosh,
here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a cheer, not a tear, make it gay. Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a cheer, not a tear, make it gay. Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
In this week's explosive programme, Terence Anderson provided the countdown, the intrepid birdman lit the fuse, and Baggins the cat provided the fissionable material. Alex Heavywater Wright and Busby Low-Yield Barclay provided the news, Hilly Nuclear Free Dance circulated the gossip, and Lance Boyle calculated the radiation spread. The programme was detonated by the Royal Army Surgical Corps and was observed by the Argyle Crack Suicide Sheep Squad. You can write to us at the Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tarbridge Road, London, SE14SL, and you can listen out for us at 7 o'clock next Sunday on 90 megahertz.
Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
Say goodbye over 10 years.
And now